Hey listeners, did you know that we review first pages sent in by supporters every month on the pod? It's just one more reason you should be supporting Hashtag MWriting, which is always free for listeners, and ad-free, too. Please note that we will never pitch you the latest in writer supplements or comfy clothes for laptoping. The good news is, we're open for first page submissions right now. If you've got a work in progress and you'd like to submit the first page for consideration for a Book Labs First Pages episode, just hit the support button in the show notes and you'll get an email telling you all the details. Want to hear a Book Labs episode? Current ones are for supporters only, but roll your pod player back to September 2024 and there they'll be.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Kids, I am here today with Rachel and with Serena. And the reason that I asked Rachel to join us is that on one of the episodes of her podcast, Ink in Your Veins, link in the show notes, she read in great detail a letter from a scammer that she almost fell for, and man, I could see why. And right at that exact same moment, Serena had been forwarding similar stuff. And even since we had that little conversation, the level of opportunities to fall for this stuff has gotten even greater. So, this is us recording an episode to help you figure out which of those emails in your inbox are from scammers. Spoiler, all of them. How to spot them, how to feel about them, and how not to fall into ye olde traps. So, Rachel, do you want to start? You don't have to read the entirety of that letter. For that, y'all can go and listen to the episode of Rachel's podcast, but just tell us a little bit about it. It was so specific.
It sure was. That was the, first of all, thanks for having me. And the thing that really chapped my hide about it, as I said in that podcast, is that we do get, you know, as authors whose, I think that our emails should be out there, right? Readers should be able to get a hold of us. A scouting film agent needs to know how to find us to give us lots of money. So our email should be out there. And we've always gotten scam emails. But this one, the very first one I got, and since then have, like you said, have gotten plenty more. Sorry, let me bring it up here. Was about my book Eliza's Home, which is not even a full novel, it's a novella. And the person who wrote it was named Timmy, just Timmy, may I point out, but he was the founder of Lit Flare Book Marketing Agency. And honestly, Lit Flare Book Marketing Agency, that sounds pretty great. I mean, that's actually a good name. I would be surprised if that weren't a real one. And what he did was, yes, he flattered the book, but more than that, he demonstrated that he understood publishing. He called me out in a good way. He complimented me for knowing the industry and for being a hybrid writer. And hybrid writer is not a word that anybody who is not inside baseball uses. You know, hybrid publishing is one thing. Hybrid writers are a completely different thing. Hybrid writers are people who both self-publish and traditionally published. He says, and he knew all of the genres that I wrote, including under a pen name that I use. And he complimented that. He complimented the whole world of this book. And this is the thing, he talked about some things that I had never thought of. This is post-war fiction. It was basically a prequel novella set after World War II in this small town, and talked about how you could market this novella to people who enjoy post-war fiction.
See, all you're doing here is making me want to fall into this person's web.
I immediately was struck by, well, this has to be spam, right? It has to be. But the more I read it, the more closely I read it, I was like, this person really understands. And this is not something that he could have found just by scraping Eliza's Home and all of the information on the on Amazon, on the Kindle website, right? It wasn't available. It wasn't there. But what I think they're doing, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think that there's just some, there's somebody out there either teaching or disseminating this information on how to scrape everything. They basically went and scraped everything about me as a writer from everywhere and then pitched it toward this book. And it did sound so good. And he did talk about marketing opportunities that I had not thought about. And I thought, oh, this person really must know what they, who, you know, they mustn't really know what they're doing. So, of course, then, because I have been around a while, I started researching and I Googled his email. Absolutely no hits. I looked up, did he have a website at that point? No, he didn't have a website. Lit Flare Book Marketing Agency did have something online, but it was one of those, you know, temporary free sites that had just been built. So, of course, it was bam. But the thing that got me so upset is that it's going to trick people. He will absolutely have people fall for this. They will have people fall for this. Have you, I want to hear about what Serena's gotten, and KJ, you must have gotten some of these by now.
Yeah.
What are you all seeing?
So let's take a step back and just make sure everybody understands that we're talking about an email that goes into depth about why your book is great and why it should be read by a wider audience.
Yes.
And I have gotten several of these. And the first one was so horrifically specific to my actual book, except for one huge tell.
Ooh.
Which is that it was all about, like, here's the character and he's so wonderful and you've got this setup and it's so great. And this world that you've built is fantastic and more readers should know about this. It's a tragedy that they don't. They were passionate about this idea. But the thing that was the problem is they're like, and it only has 2 ratings on Goodreads. And the thing is, though, that book didn't come out for months. Like, it was a months forward in the future publication at that point.
Wow.
I knew right away that person, like, looked like they were paying attention, but wasn't really paying attention. So, it says, so my slightly psycho question, do we let Thrown for a Loop keep skating in circles with too few reviews, or do we blast it into the net where it belongs? Loud, messy, and impossible to ignore. And then there's a string of emojis. Like, it's just so over the top. And the thing is that for years you could spot the low rent pitches. You know, I want to improve the SEO of your website by their horribleness, like by their bad grammar, by their insufficient detail, but now what I think is happening, even though I haven't tested this myself, is there are some AI search engines now where you can provide web links, and all you'd have to do is put a link to the NetGalley listing of this book, put a link to my author bio, and put a link to the Goodreads page for this book, and you could scrape so much information about what the book is about and why people might care. And I think somebody has written a prompt that just, like, makes that email easy to write in, like, 15 seconds. It's like, remember the olden days when there was no spam, and then people started figuring out, like, oh, wait, I could send the same message to a million people inside of one day. And then that was an idea that we had to teach our parents what spam was. Well, this is like the version 2.0 of that. Just, it's going to be incredibly easy for people to write you emails where it sounds like they're passionate and they know what they're talking about, and they just don't.
And it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
I Rachel recorded her podcast pretty soon, I think, after getting this, and, you know, to they say lovely things, and then it's not even a little bit real. Like, it's just
right,
and it's almost painful. And I want to point out that this is so this is one level of this. The wonderful marketing email you are getting that is specific to you, that seems like a great person that's really going to help you out. The person's not real. The stuff's not real. None of us real. Another level that I know Serena has seen lately is basically anything that you have that is publicly available can turn into this. So can you talk a little bit about the trademark ones you're seeing now?
Ooh.
Absolutely. I filed a trademark for one of the aspects of my business, which is just, you know, everybody does it, no big deal. And my trademark attorney warned me that the minute we filed, I was going to get junk mail. And it looked so legitimate because anytime you're filing anything that is public record, so that's like a trademark application, that is the filing for your LLC of your business. If you do that, even just doing business as name, if you file that with your state, you will start to get spam that's like, you have to do the following, send in this fee. And so that's getting easier. Like anything that can be automated to try to trip us up. So writer scams are just going to get bigger and uglier than they have been in the past. And we have to help all of our friends be mindful of this.
So Rachel, when you we're looking into this to figure out if this person was real, can you walk us through some of the things that, and there is no person. That's the frustrating thing. Like, we can't help but say he and Timmy and they.
Right.
But there's no
Timmy.
There's no Timmy.
That is made up.
It seems so we're such a small niche, but I guess any niche is big enough now.
We're such a small niche and people are desperate enough. If somebody only has one book out and perhaps they have written alone and they don't have a community to help them realize this stuff and to tell them that it's okay. Nobody knows how to sell a book. New York doesn't know how to sell a book. We're all just trying to do the best we can. These people don't know how to sell a book. They think, well, I've only sold, you know, 50 copies of my book. I need help. And this person loves my book. I'm going to ask them to help me. Of course, they have all these complimentary things to say. Since I got that first one, I've gotten, you know, dozens and dozens. And I really, for a while there, I admitted this on the podcast that I was having too good a time maybe playing with them just a little bit. And I would write back because none of them, it's bad. It's not good. But none of them had a website linked. So I would write back immediately and say, oh, I've been looking for someone to help me. Do you have a website, though? I can't really trust anybody without a website. And then it would be a few hours. And you could tell that they had thrown a website together. So I really kind of enjoyed that. I was making them work quite hard to throw this website together. But here's the thing that's scarier about that. Is that they know that we're talking and that we're telling newer writers about this. And now the ones I'm seeing, they have a website that usually you can tell by the URL is not really professional. It is not litflaremarketing.com. It is an xyzgen.freesite.litflare.movie or something. You know, it's just not a real URL. But they also have LinkedIn profiles now for Timmy and his friends. Yeah, they have Instagram. They're claiming Facebooks in order to set this up. So you can find that they actually do have established presence. Well, it's not established presence. You can see that they have a presence, but you can tell that it's not established and they are not connected with people and nobody is recommending them. So you can spend time doing that. I think that there are going to be so many of them that we used to recommend Google Lit Flare Marketing Agency plus the word scam. That was fine when there were a few of them, but when there are going to be dozens of them, hundreds of them a day being created, that's not going to give any results. I think that the hard truth and something that, you know, we need to be talking about more is that mostly excellent publicists, excellent marketing people who know what they're doing and who can help sell some books because they've got a lot of time in the industry are not going to be reaching out cold. They do not make
that
cold
is
calls.
Right.
There
they
are
don't.
No cold calls in this industry.
Right. And even this even filters down to newsletter advertising for books, which by which I mean BookBub is the most famous one. And authors should feel very confident going to submit for an ad on BookBub. And there's a second tier. Written Word Media does a nice job. Like there's some places, but I get a lot of emails from those from people that are trying to appear like that. Hey, we have a network of 5,000 readers and we want to share. And those people are not soliciting you. They are too busy doing their job. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're at the point where you have to assume if it's in your inbox and you didn't ask for it, it's not real.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that goes for famous authors writing.
Oh, that's right. Another one that you mentioned. This was
I haven't really figured out the angle on this one, but I've got about five of them now from famous authors, big names who are reaching out to me to say, hey, you know, I discovered your books and I'm also an author. Would you like to chat? And I've not known what to do with them. But with Colleen Hoover, I did play too hard. I went over the line. I wrote back to her. She says, I love connecting with fellow authors and hearing about the stories they're working on. And I wrote back, are you published? And she wrote back, I am a published author. I'd love you to check out my books. And then I wrote back, good for you. How cute that book looks. I wish you the best with that. I do charge $350 an hour for writing coaching and I charge by the minute. So you owe me $17 so far. How would you like to pay? And when shall we meet on Zoom?
That is fantastic.
But this scammer, I love this person so much because they wrote back, it looks like about 14 minutes later, I just sent the payment.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and I was God. Like, you are amazing. Like, this person is now playing with me just as much. And then we never heard from each other again. But that was amazing.
Do you know who would love this story?
Who?
Is Colleen Hoover. Because she is not afraid to play with people who mess with her. Like, she would do the exact same thing. By the way, you owe me $17. That really, she would, you know, you two should meet.
So maybe it was her. She was saying, I already sent you the money. That would be hilarious. But, you know, and in terms of her email, it was like, I can just look at it. It was something that would not fool me, but would fool somebody else. Colleen.ColleenHoover@gmail.com. That almost looks, and all spelled correctly. That is like the way her name is spelled. That might fool somebody else, but I've gotten a bunch of these now. But what are they after? What do you think they're going to do? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the friends
send you a bill,
is.
Obviously. But yeah. You know what?
Colleen Hoover needs a loan is actually what I've. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what they eventually ask you for, but.
I love it when I can't figure out what the scam is. I got one just today or yesterday that was offering to write me a Wikipedia page. And of course I didn't engage. I just walked away because I didn't have time to play with them like you. But I'm like, okay,
yeah.
What's the angle there?
What is the angle there? There was one that I couldn't figure out because I also have a Shopify store where I sell some of my self-published books. And I kept getting many, many sales. I mean, I'm still getting these many sales of Eliza's Gift, this novella, because I think it's the cheapest one there. Many sales to weird names. Tomai's Zerbada. And three or four a day.
I know what
and
those
nobody
are,
buys this
actually.
Book. Those are, I think they are somebody phishing credit cards, right?
Yes, it's credit card
like they're
fraud.
Making they're sure that the credit card works.
Right. So if you have a Shopify store with a free item in it, Then you could get 1,000 of those a day.
Oh no, they haven't tried the free thing.
And also
just the $3.99.
Empty cart is what I've heard people complain about. Like if somebody this is a known scam. If you are really struggling with it, I know some people you could talk to about it. But they will either try to charge through, and if it bounces, like you still owe Shopify like a few cents or something like that. There's some way in which this is making people's lives really horrible.
Ugh. Thank you. I will look more into that. So scammer's going to scam,
mm-hmm.
and it is disappointing, and we have to be talking about it more. I think, which is why I think it's so awesome that you're doing this particular show.
Well, I appreciate your attitude about it. It's so great. And I do agree with you. It's just that the hard thing about talking about this is that we are just living in a different world. And it hurts me to acknowledge that. Like in 2015, every email that came into my inbox deserved a reply. One, because I was a baby author who needed to, you know, engage with everybody who wanted to email me. And then, you know, life got like louder and weirder. And now the truth is we don't answer every email that comes in, like not even the ones that aren't scammy. We just can't anymore. So it's partly because of what has happened to email and just partly that this business got busier. But it's hard to like sit here and acknowledge with you guys that like, yeah, I'm a harder person than I was 10 years ago.
Yes.
I do not have patience for your little, you know, quasi scam emails. Cause not everything is a scam. Like some people are soliciting for like bad outcome businesses, and we cannot sort through all that stuff because our time is valuable. I mean,
and this reminds me of something that happened just like that, maybe the next week after I did that show, was that, you know, when you get these emails, a lot of times they will put the book title in the subject line. So, you know, Abigail's Shop, fantastic, can't wait to, and then you can't read the whole thing. And one morning I came, looked at my email, and there were a bunch of them in there, maybe five or six of them. And at the top, it said, The Seven Miracles of Beatrix Holland, USA Today. And that's my most recent book. And I'm like, oh, these jerks are now spam. And they have been spamming me on this book in particular. But I opened it, and it was from my publicist, who was saying, you've hit the USA Today bestseller list.
Oh,
and
no.
I opened it with such an attitude, ready to hit spam on it.
Yeah. Sometimes the good news is real. And also,
it's,
I guess, the nice thing
there
about these is that, unlike, you know, as long as you don't hit any links, just opening the emails.
Opening the emails cannot hurt you. Don't hit the links. I do hit the links. Yeah, I do hit the links carefully. I do live dangerously, and I'm doing a lot less of it because I did also have the realization that the more that I play with them, the more I'm training their email delivery system that this is a good email
address.
So it's just better to report spam and block. Report spam and block. It's just not as much fun. And every day, I have a week day. I just had it the other day where I was like, this was my newest fun thing. I was just in a mood, and I wrote back, really? And they wrote back excitedly. And then I said, yes. And I would just write one word at a time until they stopped. They knew they weren't going to get anything else from me, but it was really enjoyable.
All right, so I want to go through a list of things people can do. But first, Serena has something to add.
I just want to say that if you ever have an email that's really confused you and you're not sure about that link, there are lots of little websites where you can check a link, like wheregoes.com. Yes. You can type in the link you've been sent, and it will look at the redirects and tell you where you're going to end up.
Oh, that's fun. And it's called wheregoes.com?
Uh-huh, but there's more of them.
That's awesome.
Like,
yeah,
you can Google, where does this link go? And then you'll be shown.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. That goes on the list.
That is very, very smart.
So, listen, people. First of all, it's spam. It's fake. I'm sorry. But if you have doubts, look at the email address. If it's from Colleen Hoover or what was yours?
Mine was colleen.colleenhoover@gmail.com, which is
yeah,
a
colleen.colleenhoover, or, you know, colleen.colleensnoover @gmail. Okay, that's dubious. Or if it's from, colleen@colleenhoover.movie. this is, if it's a weird sender address, it's probably wrong. If you're tempted to click on the links, if it's a weird link address, if the link address for the Marriott is MarriottReservations@guestreservations.com, that's not real. That's not actually Marriott. That's going to take you somewhere. This is like Serena and I were talking about a whole different line of scams this morning. If you really want to click it, go, like Serena said, to wheregoes.com or Google where does this link goes, or better yet, pull yourself out of this email and go email, if it's reading is a real thing, like, hi, I'm from PRH and I want this, then go to that website. Go that way. Just like you would do if you got something that said it was from your bank. Don't click that. go around it to your bank, go around it to your credit card. You know, you do the thing you know works and then see if it actually does. And it probably won't.
But let's take a moment with that, too. What if an editor at Penguin Random House heard about you from their best friend who read your book and they really did want to reach out to you? That editor is going to be savvy enough to know that if you can go to the Penguin Random House site, look for that editor, and you can even respond to the person you're worried is a scammer saying, I get so much spam, I'm going to email you from your work address. Is that okay? And that editor will say nothing but, oh, that's pretty smart. Yeah, I would do that too. Go ahead and do that. They understand.
Yeah. And make sure it doesn't say, you know, tara@singcarlson.gmail@gmail.com. You know,
that's my If it isn't at gmail.com, it is spam. Period. Business person will probably not be using Gmail by this point.
Slimmest chance they made a mistake. But again, like Rachel said, find the real email. I mean, really, if a real editor has emailed you and the email is called, call the main number of the publishing house and say, I got an email that says it's from this person. Can you give me their actual email address? And they will do it. Be careful out there, kids. It's so depressing that we are doing this. Although I was telling Serena my theory this morning, which is that this is going to force us all back offline. Like, you're going to have to read an actual newspaper, because no link you get, can you ever be sure it goes to an actual newspaper? You're going to have to call the hotel or the restaurant to make a reservation, because the restaurants are going to give up because they can't fight the bots, and you won't know if you got a real hotel. You're going to have to call the theater to make, you know, it's just, we're not going to be able to, we can't have nice things, people. And this nice thing, I think, that's where it's going to be. That's my theory
in New Zealand.
That would be good.
I've got, you know, in New Zealand, everyone calls everybody else, and it's horrifying, I've got to tell you. Like, it's just assumed. I once had my phone ring, and of course I didn't answer it because I moved here from America.
Of course.
And then the second time it rang, I thought, oh, it must be important. And I think it was, I don't know who it was, maybe my dentist or something. And when I answered, she said, I just called you, but no one answered. And I'm like, I know, American, we don't do that. America is now going to be going the New Zealand way.
maybe not.
Worst things could happen.
Anybody have any last advice for people on the subject of not falling into this? Nope.
Maybe talk to your friends about it, too. If you've got writer friends out there, talk to your pals, because it can be fun to screenshot the most egregious of them and send them back and forth. I mean, it is fun.
And
talk smack about it.
If your mother-in-law has been working on a book for a little while, you know, maybe has reached out to some writer sites, and you might want to just, you know, subtly let some people in your life that might need this information, you might want to try to find a way to pass it on. All right. Thank you so much, Rachel, for coming and talking about this. Thanks for taking the time.
Of course.
Serena and I are so grateful. We are all our listeners. All of the things we talked about today are in the show notes, and all of the information about how to check out Rachel's podcast, which used to be called How Do You Write and is now called Ink in Your Veins, which you absolutely should be listening to if you aren't already. I'll put the link.
Especially the episode or two with KJ on there.
Oh, well, sure. but also to the episode about hitting the USA Today bestseller list and getting this scam at the same time. Rachel has written a bunch of great books, one of which, the most recent, is The Seven Miracles of Beatrix Holland. Yeah, did I get the title right? I hope I did.
You did.
Okay. Beautiful. I loved, and Rachel and I are going to be talking about on a separate episode, but absolutely check her out. She is worthy of your writerly and readerly time. And that's it from us, kids. So until next week, or until next time, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Thank you.